Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Yes, indeedy-do. Good evening, folks. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your genial host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Here with you once again for a half an hour at an ungodly time. Friday's at midnight. Why did I agree to it? I don't know. But here I am. I was feeling just fine until about 5 minutes ago, and then the day started to catch up with me. And I was like, oh, why couldn't it be Mud Toe at 11:30? But it's not. It's Mud Toe at midnight, and we're going to do the best we can. We've got Chief Iggy Hoopwatcher going to join us later in the half hour. We're going to speak about his latest project. Until then, I'm going to attempt to regale you with tales of Mud Toe, or at least one tale of Mud Toe. I think it was 3 weeks ago, I may be wrong about the exact time, some number of weeks ago I did a show where I got probably quite a bit more personal than I have at least since the very beginning of the show, back 3 years ago. And nobody seemed to mind. It helps me out some. It's kind of therapeutic for me to share these sort of episodes. So I'm going to do that again until Chief Iggy calls in to save you. You will be listening to a Tale of Mud Toe, and maybe a DMI Tale of Mud Toe. I'll try and keep that part of it in control. What's been on my mind is most recent romantic relationship that I was involved in. Romantic meaning intimate. Intimate meaning there was sex involved. And I was the one who ended the relationship. I believed that the woman, the other party involved, was still carrying a torch for her former boyfriend. And that if he were to come back into the picture, she would leave me for him. And I chose to get out of the relationship before that happened. And we spoke about it, and the parting was genial. There weren't any hard feelings, at least from my side. I don't think there were from her side. And I moved on, not realizing that I had just started the longest period of involuntary celibacy of my life. This happened 5 years ago, and there's been thinking of reasons, possibly reasons for that. Lack of alcohol had to be a big one. It's about, from my point of view, about finding within myself the confidence to approach someone and try and get something of that nature started. I found myself suddenly terrified by the prospect. And I think that one of the big factors was that I wasn't drinking anymore. I didn't have that as what they call that Dutch courage. That's kind of a racist thing to say. I'm sorry I said that. But it is what someone at some time has called it. Taking on Dutch courage meant taking a swig of alcohol before you did something. There was that. There was the realization that, you know, I was past, by that time, well past 40. Not a young man anymore. My peak earning years were well behind me, at least historically. As a graduate student, had gone back to college. I wasn't someone who was going to be able to provide somebody with sort of a steady. Stable. What did they always say? Stable. They want somebody stable. When you read the ads and the personals, somebody who's financially stable. Well, I ain't financially stable, and I'm getting less financially stable every day. So these were things that would weigh on my mind when I was talking to somebody, and I lack the confidence to compete. You know, I could talk. This is actually as recently as this week. I was at this job I've been doing, grading the Ohio graduation tests, and I was talking to one of my coworkers, a nice, very attractive lady, and another dude, just came and took her right away from me, and I didn't have the sort of stick-to-itiveness, I guess, to compete. Once someone challenged me, I shrunk away, and that's where does that confidence come from? Where do I find that? And I began to contemplate the very real possibility that my intimate life was done, that I had used up all of my opportunities. A very daunting prospect to find a show, especially that I'm not that, you know, I'll be 50 next year, so it's not like I'm decrepit. I should be physically able to perform for, I would say, at least another 10 years, unless something goes seriously wrong, probably beyond that. So to think that it's because of, you know, something mental, something psychological, just a block of some kind that I need to overcome, and I've got plenty of those blocks. You know, finishing my book not being the least of them, but you know, I understand blocks. I just have a lot of trouble getting past them. That's why they're blocks. So there's been, I'm saying there's been a fair amount of, I won't say depression, but a fair lot of moping about the house, of thinking about these issues. Now, at the same time, regular listeners will know that some months ago, a woman entered my life in kind of an odd way. She called me on Christmas Day saying that she was moving and needed some help. And, of course, it was difficult for her to recruit help on Christmas Day. I went out to help her, and I found that the situation was not quite as she had described it. She had an ex-boyfriend there and some of his relatives who were very angry. And there were moments when I thought I was not going to be able to make good my escape. But I did, and with her, and got her where she needed to go. And since that time, every few weeks, sometimes maybe a month, will go by, and then I'll get a call from her, and she needs something. On that first night, I helped her. I paid part of her rent for her. And so she calls, and she needs something. You know, she's short for her rent, or she's short for groceries, or you know, for some, whatever else is needed. She's in a probably a worse spot than I am just at the moment, maybe not too much worse, but we're in similar situations. And so I have empathy, plus, you know, she's a pretty young lady, and it activates my damsel in distress trigger. And it's something that got me, it's concerning to me because it's something that got me in trouble several years ago when I was hospitalized. There was a woman I was seeing, and she was using me for money to get drugs, and she cleaned out my apartment a couple of times. And in response to that, I ended up going to the hospital, ideating suicide. So yeah, obviously there was a lot of very negative consequences for that kind of relationship, and I sort of see echoes of that in this, with this person, when I only hear from her when she needs something. And, you know, there's not, you know, a lot of emotion kind of coming back from her. It's all, everything that goes into it kind of comes from me. So I heard from her earlier this week, and it was some sort of, I can't explain it because I didn't understand it completely. There was some sort of babysitter roulette going on where somebody was watching somebody's kids for exchange for watching somebody else's kids, and people were rotated to the wrong apartments, and the wrong vehicles were at other different apartments, and they were sort of, to make this thing work out, they were one vehicle and one driver short. So she asked if I would come out. So it's like 12:30 at night, and I had to work at 6 in the morning. But again, it's the damsel in distress thing, jingle, jingle, jingle. So I went on out there and helped him out, got everything straightened around. And the young lady asked if I wanted to spend the night with her. Now, of course, the immediate question is, are we talking about, you know, crashing and getting some sleep? Or are we talking about something different than that? Well, she was talking about something different from that. And I resisted. Again, for the reasons, for all of the reasons that I've been discussing, you know, my own lack of confidence, plus my suspicion that there's elements to this relationship that I really don't want to be exploring. But she said to me, she said, "Look, this is, I'm just lonely, and I haven't been touched for a long time." And I thought, did she just say that, or did I say that? I mean, because it was exactly what was in my head at that moment. You know, that's what's in my head when I'm moping around the house by myself. You know, I'm lonely and nobody's touched me for a long time. So I accepted. I'm quite sure it was a horrible mistake, not because of the experience itself, which I'm not going to review. That's not my point in talking about this. It's taken the, I mean, obviously they talk about taking it to another level. I mean, but that's exactly what's happened. And now I'm back to waiting for her to call, because when I call, and I keep doing it, I can't stop myself from doing it. I'm all the time on the phone and on, you know, texting, trying to get a hold of her. And, you know, nothing comes back until she needs something. I won't hear from her again until she needs something. And when she does need something and when she does call, my concern is that, let's say I'm in a position, because I haven't always been able to help her. You know, I'm often broke. I'm often stuck here for whatever reason. You know, my car isn't working, or I've promised somebody else I'll do something for them. So I'm not always able to just get up and run and help her. If that's the case, the next time she calls me, not only will there be the usual kinds of guilting that she might start to put on me, but there'll be the additional guilting of, you know, man, I had sex with you. You know, I did that for you, and now you're saying you can't come and help me out. That, again, that's my concern. And then my concern also is I'm just getting more and more deeply involved in a person's life whose issues I just don't understand. I know that there are issues that I don't know about. There are things that I undoubtedly would not want to be involved in. I feel that I have made a most grave mistake. And I need to get in touch with some of my New Age friends to find out how I manifest my way around that. Because they will say to me, you can't keep thinking about the mistake you made, because that'll make bad things happen. You know, you'll attract energy because the universe doesn't understand negation. You can't try to manifest consequences not appearing, because the universe doesn't understand the not part. If you think about the consequences, that's what's going to come. If you think about conflict, that's what's going to come. So I got to think of a lot of affirmations that I don't know. I don't know whether that the affirmations have to specifically mention the intimacy, the sex that was involved, the thing I'm trying to turn back from is at that level. Is that something that calls for a different treatment in an affirmation? Some wonderful technical questions being raised by this little affair that's happened. And, of course, the rest of it is, after having not had any sex for 5 years, and then you get a taste of it, suddenly that sort of semi-serenity that came with, you know, a lot of time having gone by, and maybe you stopped thinking about what it felt like. You stopped thinking about what it felt like to wake up next to somebody after that kind of experience. And all of a sudden, that all that time you had in, all that time you had in dealing with that, the processing those feelings and the lack of that experience and the craving of it, suddenly that's all out the window. And you're starting again. It's just like a 12-step thing. You start over again at zero. And as I said, I'm 3 or 4 times a day on the phone trying to text her and getting nothing back. So that's where I'm at. Thanks again for putting up with the commentary and the trials and tribulations of Mutto. And what have I got here? I think this is Mr. Iggy who has called us. And I'm going to attempt to bring him to life here for all of you. Now he's just texted me. Hold on. He's saying, why the hell aren't you putting me on? He says, I'm here. Yeah, I think I know. I see you, and I'm going to try and punch the correct button here and make this happen. Okay, so a little wheelie has gone up, and now there's a light on. And now there's...
What's that, brother?
I'm hoping that was on purpose.
That was on purpose.
On purpose, you mean? Good evening, Iggy. How are you?
Well, I'm well. How are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there.
I got some story there.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to share that until like the last second. I had an alternate story already to tell in case I chickened out. And I apologize. We had to tell the listening audience, Iggy and I had lunch together.
Yes.
And I did not choose to share that story with him at that time.
But I can see
that probably has you fuming right now, right?
No. Yeah, but I can see something on your face.
Yeah. Just share it with the world. Share it with the radio people. Share it with the world. Tell
hey,
everyone.
Yeah, share with your listeners. Your listeners are there, man. They're the ones. They're always listening to you. So.
That's right. Well, why don't we share with the listeners what we did talk about at lunch, which is this new project that you have in mind.
Yeah, Strawberries in My Gutter.
That's right. Strawberries in My Gutter. Let's hear all about it.
Yeah, Strawberries in My Gutter is a movie project that David Rutland, David Two Crows, and I are putting together with a bunch of other friends, with you. You're actually going to be our main character. So for those of you who know, Todd is a very well-known actor in our community. I think so. That's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be our main role in this movie that we're putting together. And I know I'm being kind of vague about it, but the movie is about a guy who has to kind of deal with different aspects of his own life, and then deal with different aspects of the world around him and how different things manifest through the corporate world and with the hippies, which we call the dirties. Instead of calling them hippies, we just call them the dirties, the hoopers, the drummers, and then we have the corporate side, the guys who want to do all the fracking and the oil that's between the two parties. And Todd's character actually is kind of in between the two, and any way he swings can just change the pendulum. So basically what's going to happen is they have this big reserve of oil that sits between Todd and the dirties. Either give it to the dirties or not doing it by not doing anything, or give it to the corporate side and then take Todd's land and the dirties' land. And it plays out kind of like a psychedelic Western. And so it's going to be kind of cool. It's going to be really...
And that was the way you introduced it to me. That's the way you introduced it to me, was it going to be a psychedelic Western?
Yeah. It's going to be a psychedelic Western. You're going to have your shamans in it. You're going to have the battle between evil and good, and the battle between shadow side and light side. It's going to be a holistic movie too, so it's going to be approaching the holistic aspects of life and how we deal with things. I will get one part out that I thought was pretty cool that Dave and I have been talking about here just even today, about the whammy. I call it the whammy, where, this man gets seduced, Todd's character gets seduced, and by being seduced, the corporate company had hired a shaman woman to come in and just put the whammy on him by showing him a woman that he knows that he likes, really intrigued by and really cares for and wants to date her and wants to be with her. And So the shaman kind of shapeshifts and changes the perceptions of good and evil. So what looks like good is actually evil, and you know, it's the opposite the other way. So my character, who's the dark side, plays the dark. I'm dark, but I play good. And then David Rutland's side is actually good, but plays, looks like he's evil, right? Because he's a drinker, he's a partier, he sleeps with women and all kinds of stuff. But he's the light side of everything. So it's pretty intense movie. It's really pretty cool. We're going to leave a lot of people thinking and guessing. And spoken tongue is not going to be translated, so anything that's like in a native tongue, we're not going to translate. So you're going to sit there and go, wow, what did you just say? And then you're processing, your brain's moving. So that's the gist of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I was very intrigued by the idea of the shifting of the ideas of good and evil. And it kind of it speaks to something that I think about a lot, which is, you know, how different really are good and evil. You know, if it depends a lot on, you know, how from what point of view you're looking at a process or even a person, as to whether this, I mean, you can't, it's not always possible. Okay, here's the good column and here's the evil column, and this goes in the good column, this goes in the evil column. Well, it's often hard to know that, and
right.
Sometimes. Good works the same way, in the same way that evil does, and just by making a tweak one way or the other, you can make the processes unrecognizable, and I think that's what you're talking about. In certain ways.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our character basically is dealing with the different aspects of himself. Like I told you, there was one scene that we definitely want to put in, is where he's fishing. The three of them are fishing, the three different personalities, the main character and the evil, the dark side, the shadow side, it's called the shadow side, and the light side, they're all fishing together. And when we pan away from from that scene, you know, it's just our character, the main character, who will be sitting there. So, you know, him talking to himself and processing a lot.
And then we might want to mention, we have some professional people involved in this too, that it's not just a bunch of shamans, you know, fooling around with an iPhone.
Yeah, we have Mary Rathke is going to be actually helping us out in this production. She's actually an Emmy-winning producer, director, and she'll be doing whatever, you know, she feels like she should help us with. She's definitely going to direct us and keep us in line. So we're pretty excited about that. I mean, we're really in the early stages of this movie, but we're pretty excited about, you know, how it's shifting and how it's looking, where it's heading, because, you know, you can go as far as your imagination will take you. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. It sounds like there are going to be a lot of challenges presented to me specifically. I mean, those are the ones that are going to be closest to me, obviously, are the ones that I have to deal with. But everybody, I mean, as you described it, every character that you described has that has those kind of conflicts to resolve. I think it's just going to be fascinating to watch those relationships play out.
Yeah, and of course, like any type of production, any type of work that you do, things will shift in, and there'll be a metamorphosis in the process. What we thought was cool may change. There was one scene that we were creating where you're actually having a showdown, you know, like an old Western draw, you know, where your guys have pistols in your hands, you know, ready to draw them. But instead of pistols, you're going to have, Colin's going to have a drum, and you're going to have your little Peruvian sticks, and which is something where you're creating in your mind, because you don't know what to tell this guy. You're so, you're like frustrated, but so there's like this Western spaghetti, ready to show down, and you guys are going to go at it. But it's all in your head at that moment. And then everybody's like, hey, what's going on? And Colin starts playing his drum, you start hitting your sticks, and then this energy starts hitting back and forth. So it's going to be kind of like, a little fantasy type too as well, traveling into, these segueing in and out of, flashbacks and future, forwards or whatever, and daydreaming.
Mm-hmm. And then Colin is the oil company guy, right?
Yeah, he's the oil company. Him and GV are going to be the oil company guys.
Yeah, and Colin is rather physically impressive. I don't want to say this. He's not the kind of guy you'd expect that shows up in a suit and a tie with a bunch of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, that would be fair to say.
Yeah. For him to be playing that part, I mean, it's another conflict with your expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, we're really excited about, the direction this is going to go. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, the name that I gave you is not the official name. We want to kind of be like Star Wars and, call it Fields or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of keep everybody guessing what's going on,
And Iggy has not even told me what the actual name is, so.
No, that way
it'll be secret. It'll be secret to the end.
Secret to the end.
In fact, when it's released, it won't have the official name in.
Yeah, it'll probably be called Nowhere, Oklahoma. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be the movie, the movie with the secret name. That'll be on the marquee. We can't tell you what it's called.
Yeah, we'll just call it Waxed Cucumbers or something. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I appreciate you giving me a little time.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, there's about 4 minutes left in the show. Do you want to solve my problem for me?
Stop texting.
I would like to. I certainly should. I mean, it's useless, and it just makes me feel bad.
Well, without giving you information that or my opinion, I didn't hear the whole conversation. So maybe we can sit down and talk about it. I don't want to give you something that, that may not be appropriate for where you need to be heading and what direction you need to be focused in. So hopefully that you understand.
Well, maybe
that.
Maybe I'll call in on Monday. You and Dave can give me a reading.
Yeah, then we can help you there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll talk.
Sounds good, and hopefully we'll see you Sunday. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, thank you for that. And that certainly is exciting news. Something I did actually years ago, I had started working on a film project which I had to put aside when I went to the hospital and never really got back to it. And just the excitement of working on that, we only filmed really about 10 minutes of the movie. But I still go back to it sometimes and look at it, kind of fool around with it a little bit. That puts me in mind of Orson Welles, who was working on Don Quixote for his for most of his life, and it just never really came together for him. But it's the journey that I'm looking forward to, and with a little bit of luck and some stick-to-itiveness on our part, the journey will result in a completed project. And that's a rather new, the way we put together your affirmation about that is the film, we have the resources we need to finish this film, make it be everything we want it to be. So thank you for joining me, kind of an eclectic show, with different, very different things we talked about. I will certainly keep you up to date on what's going on both of those matters, and look forward to speaking to you next weekend, right back here on Fridays at Midnight. Once again, thank you for listening, and have a very pleasant evening.